Oh, hi there, Chromie. Didn't see you halfway across the map. This is Core.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Core. This is Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Beau Schwartz and John Jagger. And I found a solution to my bad times in Hero League. Would either of you like to hear me explain it?
Yes.
Okay, Bo, how about you? Do you want me to tell this?
Yes.
Okay.
Please explain.
All right, because
I've decided.
I had said last week I was struggling with placement matches and just being irritated with bad teams and horrible people and letting it kind of get me down. And despite all that, though, played a lot of Heroes between last show and today. In fact, I haven't had a ton of gaming time in general. What little time I had, I spent in Heroes, and I have literally not stepped foot in Overwatch in a week, which is weird for me because I really like that game. But I played a lot of Heroes, and I decided to finally come up with a solution for my Hero League woes. So here's what I did. I get in the game. I choose my dudes. Right. Well, I see how the chat's going during draft. Okay. The couple games I won, no one talks. They just ban out what makes sense. Nobody's really planning anything. Play what you're good at. Make a decent comp. Let's go. And we won those games. The games where people talk a lot during that initial phase there, you'd think that'd be smart. Like, this is the time for you to work together and let's go. Let's do it, people. It was bad. It was real bad. And that's when I can usually tell when things aren't going to go well in the actual game proper. So here's what I do. The big test is, how is draft chat going? Is it terrible or is it okay? Oh, it's okay? Good, I'll leave that on. I won't mute anyone. If it's terrible, the minute we get into the game, tab, mute, 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 mute. I mute everybody up and down the thing, all right? Then I go back to playing the game. Now, suddenly all I get in the game in terms of feedback are pings, and warnings and retreats and stuff you do with the G and the mouse button, right? So that's all the feedback I have to take from these people. Again, if they're good, and the other thing, I'm not muting them until I see otherwise. So in those games, either the whole game would go silent and we won anyway, or they'd say, guys, I need help up top, or it'd be simple stuff, and I'd leave it on. I'm not muting them for that. But if they're total bungholes during the freaking draft, then mute the whole tree and get the H in there and play the game. And when you don't have all that chatter down there to distract you or think about or whatever, and you know that they're all just yelling at the sky, it's amazing. It's like, it's almost like a single player game in a weird way. Now, because you're solo queuing, that kind of is anyway. So all I've done is just take out the part I didn't like about it and kept all the parts I do, which is, even if we're losing, I'm like, all right, well, where can I best be used right now? I'm going to go down and help that guy because he seemed the most likely to back me up if there's a problem, if I'm a tank or whatever. So I think I solved it. I don't need to hear anybody. I don't need to acknowledge other human beings if they're being potato farts. If they're being nice, then great. Then if they're not, great. I don't care either way. I'm going to play my game. And that's it's a mindset thing. So I realize most of this is mental and it's me and it's on me. And that's what I've done. And now I'm just taking my games as they come. I got a 20 minutes of time, and I'm thinking, you know what? I could crank out a Hero League game. I'm going to go do it. I can go do that. You guys get on. We play Team League, or we go play Quick Match, or we play Unranked, or whatever. And it's all good. I'm having like a zen week in Heroes. No big complaints, no problems, no yelling, nothing. It's been awesome.
So you're drafting chat, basically.
Yeah.
There's another vector. He's like, do I ban chat this game or not?
Yeah. Well, they're busy banning, you know, Li Ming or whatever. Although the one where they're the most chatty and the most rude right up front before we even got into the game, one guy was being a total troll and banned. So he was the highest MMR. He banned Chen, and then he chose Chen after he banned him and just sat there with the exclamation point throbbing on his face the entire game. And he's
okay.
And he's last pick. So he's on Chen, so we never know what he's picking, and people are asking him, please reveal what you want to be so we know what to do here. And he just sat there with a throbbing exclamation point on the character he already banned. Second wave ban comes, and he banned Artanis. Point being, he's banning characters that no one bans. Like, what are you doing? The other team, of course, banned stuff that we could actually use and didn't. So they ended up with Morales and Li Ming over there. And we ended up with, I can't remember what he finally chose, but this guy was a complete troll. And I said during that chat, I said, I think I smell a little trolling going on, which I think is a fair assessment of what I was witnessing. And he writes back, and he goes, really? Because I can smell your mom going on. And I said,
wow, I shouldn't be laughing.
Yeah.
Everybody get high fives for that one. That's quality.
It was a thick, sweet burn, sick burn. So I said, mute, and then tried to double mute that guy. So I just muted him twice to be safe, muted him, unmuted, and then muted him again. And then I played a fine game. We lost, but I kicked butt. I was supportive. I helped everybody with stuff. I had top damage. I had top XP, and I had top siege. Like, you know, I played a good game of Heroes, which is all I could have ever promised these randos anyway. I'm telling you, there's liberation in this.
Well, you also were top happiness because you didn't have to go through the excruciating feelings of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just feeling frustrated. Not that there's anything wrong, but, you know, when someone gives you crap, it can stick with you a little bit. It's not fair.
And so, after a while there, somebody would run out of pings. Like, they'd ping, 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 ping. And I knew that with those pings was coming like the worst possible paragraphs of text, right? That I wasn't seeing because I had muted them. And I remember at one point I was up top and there was a, who was it? Brightwing just sitting there. And, you know, like almost AFK sitting there. But I realized what was going on. They were typing some huge yelly all caps thing. And then I'd see her, then I'd see her move a little bit and then someone would probably reply to that. And then I'd watch her stop again and not doing anything, and then somebody typing again. I didn't see any of the typing, but I could just tell what was going on. And she got herself killed because she was doing that. Like, it was the dumbest thing ever. But I had a fun game. I had a great time. That would have been a miserable time, and I didn't have one because mindset, mute. The double M's. M&M, baby. 8 Mile. That's what we've learned.
That's a good way to decide. You know, I feel like you might actually be onto something. Because I will say that is the one thing that to me gets the most frustrating. I think we share the most frustrating thing in this game, which is it's fine to be unhappy, it's fine to be mad and tilted, but let's just keep trying. Let's not throw our hands up in the air and give up or about a novel about all the wrongs that are going on in your life.
Yeah.
Let's just see what we can do with the team that we have, whether we agree with the decisions or not. Let's just see.
Yeah.
And when people don't want to do that, that's where I start to get a little tilted myself. And you're not going to get rid of that because you can't change people, but you can at least change your perception of the situation.
Right. It's like what Gandalf said that one time, Bo, where he says, where is it? It's not the thing we do. I wish this ring had never come to me, says Frodo. And Gandalf says, oh, shit, I can't find it. I can't find it. I found
it. He said, use the force, Luke.
He said, it's we can only do the things with the stuff that we have. That we have. Right? Or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't remember.
Wizard arrives exactly when he means to.
they have a Balrog. Fly, you fools. That's all. That's everything. Anyway.
It's funny how this is the... I remember we vaguely talked about this last week, and I was saying like the complete opposite of what you did. But, you know, if it works for you, I'm pro what you did. If it makes you have more enjoyment of the game, and then do it.
I mean, I'm not even like it's almost like I'm promoting ignorance. Like I'm saying, you know, if you put yourself in your own echo chamber, that's better. I don't want to necessarily apply this lesson to life because I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think isolating yourself into a place where you can only hear what you think is a good idea. But in a game like Heroes, where nothing that serious is really on the line, I don't have a problem, you know, muting people.
Well, you know, because you get those wins. I had a win yesterday that I hated winning. I played Kerrigan on Infernal Shrines, and it started off real strong. We had like Sonya and everyone, they were dropping the N-bombs. The N-bombs were happening in a big way. And I think we talked about this a little bit where they're like, yo, man, I F's with you. You know, like they were Ali G styling it with me. And I was like, I want to lose this game. I actually don't want to win. Like, right. I don't want these guys. Like, I really hated how they were. But, you know, I maybe should have just muted and played the game now that I think about it. There's some wisdom in what you've done.
See, look what I've done. Okay, I found the quote for those who are concerned about my horrible memory of Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. Mm-hmm. Here's how it went. Frodo says, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened, says young Frodo. Gandalf follows up with, So do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what we do with the time that is given to us. There are other forces at work, and who cares about that part? But that's the point.
I thought you were about to say there are four lights.
Like his old buddy Patrick Stewart would say.
This is how he wrapped it up.
I want to say, for the record, that quote kind of makes me feel bad, because with the time I'm given, I'm not saving the world from something. I'm playing Heroes of the Storm.
That's a really good point.
These are the times we live in, Bo. The times for us, we need to save the Nexus.
That's right.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Middle Earth is already saved or blown up or whatever they did with it. But
I got a new theory about the Nexus. Do you guys want to hear my theory about the Nexus?
What's the Nexus?
Because you just struck a chord with something I'd been thinking about the other night. I think the Nexus is Blizzard IP hell. And I don't mean just because they're all in there. I mean, this is where they all go when they die. Because what are you doing? You're starting on a map where it goes, go, heroes, and do a thing. So you all go, yeah! And you go fight and fight and fight, kill a bunch of towers, wipe out the map in lots of ways, clear all these lanes, and destroy a statue at the end. Okay? Yeah.
It's Valhalla, basically.
Basically, but right? That's all you do is fight again and fight again and fight again, and it resets and resets and resets. It's a kind of hell. If you think about it, for these characters, from their perspective, I mean, every time, and they don't know it. That's the bigger part of the hell. Johanna's still going, yeah, let's do this. But really, you've done it 500 times, and all you did was kill a statue at the end, right?
So yeah, but that statue deserved it. Also, it's full of chocolate coins, so.
I was going to say, like we don't really have a quote-unquote hell for Warcraft, especially because everyone resurrects all the time. There's no real hell that I'm aware of in the StarCraft lore. But it breaks down when you get to Diablo, because the whole point is there's a hell. Like, that's the whole thing, is that there's a hell and not a hell.
I think Diablo's trying to take over the Nexus.
You think so?
I think the whole Heroes of the Storm is a battle by these godly beings, and I feel like that when Diablo and Tyrael found it, they thought, oh, we need this power ourselves. That's why Diablo is the only themed map we have so far,
right?
Because they pulled the high heavens and the burning hells into the battle.
Sure. And look, video games. Theory. It's like video games. You raid in World of Warcraft and keep taking down the same boss over and over, which makes no sense and is also kind of a hell unto itself. However, that's just to satisfy gameplay. If you go purely by the one time through, well, then you've accomplished the thing you came there to do. You won. You vanquished the evil, whatever. There's an end to that. There's an end game. In Heroes of the Storm, just thematically I'm talking about, not gameplay-wise, but thematically, what the hell are you doing there? What are you doing? You're just fighting shit and blow. And like, you could say this about Overwatch. There's lots of games you could say this about. But like, really, at the end of the day, you're just killing a little bird statue or the freaking snake statue or whatever stage you happen to be on. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too deep.
You're getting sick cash.
Am I thinking too? I'm probably thinking too much about it, but you know.
Well, yeah. There's no real even story thread to the Nexus. All we have is that one cinematic to go on where they're fighting in a desert.
Oh, right.
And
yeah. And that doesn't.
Yeah, you think we'll ever get another cinematic for Heroes on that level?
No, we've learned a little bit about it. We know that they hang out. That there's a sense of community. I always got the impression that they're like refugees. Like their alternate dimension is being destroyed. And they're who gets saved and pulled into the Nexus. And that they all kind of hang out in that Dragonshire kind of medieval looking area. And that the Sky Temple is literally up in the sky above everybody.
Oh, this is all I see. These aren't all standalone battlefields that just sort of exist in a vacuum. You see them all connected like maybe even geographically, these are all on the same plane.
It's Mario World.
Yeah, I mean that's just lore. I've seen the Lost Vikings video, and they fall off Sky Temple and land in what's the map that they took out? The Grave Golem place.
Oh,
they land there.
Yeah. That's right.
So my theory is Sky Temple is above that area. That's why it's always dark in the Grave Golem area, because it's blocked out by Sky Temple. It blocks out the sun.
Oh, see, that's
perpetual night there.
That's actually pretty cool. All right, one final thing I'll say about this, and we'll move on to some actual news here. Do you think that when they leave, though, like when they went to go get Butcher, which didn't really make sense because they were all hanging out at Butcher's place, like in Sanctuary, one would assume. And it was multiple characters from multiple, things. I think Tassadar was in there or somebody like that. So StarCraft crossed over. Anyway, they were all hanging out in Sanctuary to find Butcher and I guess take him to the Nexus or fight him, or I don't know what they're doing. They do sometimes mesh the outside world back with the Nexus. So how do you explain that, John? How do you explain them going from that plane of this like limbo, dimensional shift, whatever, and going back? Well, we got to go to the Nexus and get Butcher. Because we need some melee DPS. Like, how does that work?
See, the Butcher got pulled in, and what he saw was him setting up his home in the Nexus. And so all these heroes, they heard a report about all these people going missing in this area. That's why you see all the gear of various characters laying around when they find him. Because people were going missing. They're like, we need to take care of this. And so they sent a bunch of people in, but the Butcher got them all. But it's okay, because there's like a million Jainas.
Did they get this information from like the Haunted Tribune?
Yes.
You know, the Garden
Rainer
Post.
Rainer has his little cattle drive that he does. Maybe he delivers news.
Yeah.
Maybe the news is called the Cavalry. Like, it didn't make sense for him to say, Calvary's here. Maybe he was delivering papers, just like, oh, Calvary's here. And everyone was like, sweet, we're going to get our paper.
Yeah.
Rainer brought it to us by horseback.
I love the idea that there are now newspapers in the Nexus somehow. Like the Ravenlord Post or whatever is competing heavily with the, I don't know, the Garden Terror Picayune or something.
No wonder gold is inflated so much since we started playing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because of all the competition in the newspaper industry.
There's an economist
slitting his wrist right now.
It's the great printing fight of Nexus time. Well, nonetheless and notwithstanding, that's our new theories. Use it as you will, people at home. Bo, you've been playing. Oh, so speaking of which, like you spending a lot of time in Heroes, every time I check Battle.net, Bo is playing Hero League and a ton of it. And you're pretty high up. Tell us your experience this week, because you seem to be killing it.
Yeah. Well, last week we talked about that. Yeah. And I have it in my head that I'm going for Master. Going for Master. I have till August.
Whoa.
And so I've been, playing a lot. I grinded from Gold 1 to Platinum 2 in a week. I'm pretty proud of that rapid climb. And I hope it continues and I don't hit any kind of wall. Right now the goal is just to get to Diamond. But yeah, I'm gonna hit Master. I want that epic mount, and so I'm gonna be playing a lot of Heroes because the timeline seems aggressive.
Mm.
It really does.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm concerned I hit a wall somewhere and don't achieve Master, but right now the goal is to hit Master. So, and I've been having a lot of fun. So it isn't just this grind of like, oh, it's a drag to play or whatever. I've been really enjoying the season. Preseason for me has all been playing Jaina and Kael'thas and Li Ming, and the banning kind of changed the meta towards the end. But this season, I'm playing Heroes I had never dreamed that I played. We talked a lot about Greymane last week, but I've been busting out the Kerrigan quite a bit. Kerrigan's super rad to play competitively, and so is Chen. I can't lose a game with Chen, and every time there's a Chen on the other team, I lose. I think he's like the secret powerhouse right now in your competitive games. I couldn't recommend him more right now.
So
I haven't lost a game on him in Hero League.
When that guy I thought was trolling me banned Chen, that may have been a legit thing, a switch in the meta, right? Trying to keep Chen off the battlefield.
There's the meta. The meta is this conversation in the zeitgeist that everyone, oh, these things are OP. But they're not. Like, when everyone's betting one way, bet the other way. There are secret powerhouses out there right now. The people that know those powerhouses are not sharing their secrets. But I'm telling you, Chen, people don't play well versus Chen. He might not be a great hero. Your five-man pro teams might be like, yeah, we can't run him because whatever. Solo queue, you should be playing Chen. He's like nigh unkillable if you're careful with him. It's really, really good. So I've just been enjoying the variety. I play Tychus one day. Like, I've been playing a ton of different heroes and not playing the whole, I'm just going to do Jaina and I'm just going to do Lunara. Like, I haven't touched Lunara. I haven't touched any of the heroes that I depended on so much for my rank last season. And it's been really refreshing.
Well,
it's an exciting time to be playing Hero League.
I have high hopes for you reaching your goals. But John, I want to talk about Muradin and how you skunked around a little bit after some of the pro plan stuff and found a build that is murderous. So can you explain DPS Muradin a little bit for those who are like, what are you talking about? How can this be possible? Because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so Muradin got a lot of talk after the last tournament because there's a popular new build going around and people are checking it out, and it turns out they're really liking it. And I had played a somewhat similar build to it a good long while back. It's since been essentially buffed unintentionally, probably. But basically, the idea is this. You take more attack-focused talents with Muradin, and you basically build what people call attack Muradin. He's not really going to be, you know, he's not going to be outpacing Kael'thas or anything like that. But what you do is you make him a more aggressive fighter. And it's actually a philosophy I really like to use with heroes. When I am building a talent build for a hero, I don't go in and say, okay, here's a character that has really high attack and really low defense. I need to just boost their attack like mad. They're already good at it. Mm-hmm. So what I go in and want to do is say, okay, let's buff up their defense. Let's make a well-rounded character, because that gives me more options as a player. And so the idea is Muradin doesn't do the most damage in the whole world, but there is a build that you can do with him that boosts his damage in such a way that suddenly he is able to go toe-to-toe and actually win fights with a lot of characters in this game that you wouldn't expect him to be able to, because normally he's supposed to just sit there and be a tank. And if you do want to check out the build, it's on our YouTube page. I did a getting started for it. We don't necessarily need to run through it here, but it's a really fun build, and it really turned me around on a character that I was never playing.
Yeah, and I play him all the time, and I love him, and I already loved him. And you, it's like you open my eyes to a crazy new way to play a character. I thought I had just gotten the build that was ever going to be my build, and if they ever changed him, I would tweak to accommodate it, but it would always sort of be this sort of sustaining tank build. And what you gave me with that build was just a whole different way to play him without losing much of the sustain. Like, I'm not dying anymore than I used to. In fact, I think in some cases I'm living longer than I used to. It's still a healthy tank build. You still can get out there and be the point man. It's not like he suddenly goes from, like, who's a good example of this? Like, there's a big difference between a pure healing Karazim and a pure damage Karazim. Right. And you can build both really cool builds out of that, but there's no playing a really good healer if you're going to go pure damage with that guy. You can fart and heal people, but there's no way to kind of have your cake and eat it too. This is the cake and eat it too Muradin build. And it's and it's freaking awesome. Oh my gosh.
It's a lot of fun.
It's really,
really, really fun.
And if you, so I'll just say this. If you're out there thinking, I don't like playing Warrior, Scott, because when I'm in the middle of a fight, I feel like I'm just boring because all I'm doing is taking a ton of damage, hopefully getting healed and blocking people and zoning, all these important things, but it's just a thankless, unflashy kind of job. You now have a build with that character where you can still be all those important roles for your team, but then you can just scare the shit out of people. You can, like, suddenly take somebody down to nothing. They're like, whoa, hold on a minute. This isn't supposed to happen. And they get out of there. Or at the very least, you can sometimes kill them. Like, they're assassinating and kind of bursty at times. And when you're bursting with a hero like this, it just feels real weird. I'll use a comparison that surprises me to even say it. And so I'm surprised these words are coming out of my mouth. But he feels occasionally like playing Jaina or playing Vala in a way. And by that, I mean these just sudden, this feeling of like sudden, oh, you think I'm just a tank, but I've got, you know, and you just like fill them full of lead real quick, like, and get kills you'd never get otherwise. It's really satisfying. So I wanted to make sure we brought that up.
I do want to also, before we get too far off this topic, I want to bring up something Bo said where he talked about the tightness of the window for leveling up to master. Because one of the things that we've seen a lot in our Twitter feeds and just online in general is this sense of like, man, I got placed way lower than I expected. I have this seemingly insurmountable mountain that I have to climb. And I don't want to diminish people who feel like that, because they're, you know, obviously there are ranks to climb and it's a ways to go depending on where you got placed. But one thing that we do have to keep in mind is that to some degree, the ranking is incremental. So when we did our placement matches, your MMR and your placement is also based on what you've done before. And presumably when the next season comes out, that's going to be the case. So I want to encourage people out there who maybe got discouraged because they ranked lower than they thought they would and didn't think, you know, the placement was very good. Keep going, keep pushing, climb as much as you can, because next season when you do your placements, you're going to be starting from a better place than you did this season. Yeah. And that might give you less of a grind going forward. So the mountain may seem very tall right now, but if you just make progress now, it might make that climb even less next season.
So just from a philosophical point of view, and Bo, you've said this before, it's not really about the rank, it's about the game you're playing right now. And then if you're having fun and getting better, you're going to get the rank eventually anyway, or you'll end up where you're going to be, but just be having fun in the game you're playing. That's always been a constant thing on the show. You said it a lot. It's something I'm trying to integrate into the way I play. But from a philosophical angle, do you think sometimes the game pits you against that thinking? In other words, as I'm not saying it's exactly their fault, maybe it's a MOBA's problem, but what a MOBA is really at its core, and what this game is at its core, is a fully fleshed out RPG experience compressed into 20 minutes and 20 levels. And, you know, every few levels you're getting a new talent and you're upgrading your abilities and you're deciding what to do next and you're killing things that aren't people and then trying to kill things that are people, and you're trying to level up and be the winner. And then that all resets and you do it again. So there's this incredibly compressed progression system that then is asking you to do that a whole bunch of times to be better at the big progression system, which is now the ranking system. And that takes a long time and a ton of games and all kinds of dedication and work and then skill and everything else. Do you think sometimes it's just hard for players to have both happening at once, where I'm having this short, satisfying experience, but I have to have a million of these short, satisfying experiences to experience the big, long tail one?
Yeah, I mean, it's just gaming in general. I think as gamers, we're in a lot of scenarios, World of Warcraft included, all the Blizzard stuff, you get your dopamine hit. Oh, you earned an achievement. You put on a pink pair of pants. You got, you know, oh, yes, like, laugh or no, it affects your brain chemistry on some level. And this is full of all these games. And so we come from a lot of different situations, especially as online game players in an MMO setting where achievements are fast and furious and different levels of dopamine hits come. And you get into this MOBA space, and you're right, the game itself is designed to give you those hits of, yeah, I leveled up, let's try this again, and all kinds of little ceremonies around hitting certain benchmarks. But the MMR system hates you. It hates everybody. It despises you. It wants to put you down on the bottom. It's actually worse when it's like, ooh, promotion match, and guess what? You go in and lose it. Promotion match is like every other match, and the fact that you get sad mystical red rain or something when you get your demotion match, like the aesthetic of video game design is there, like everything's a ceremony because people keep playing games when you reward them for putting on pink pants for the first time. That it runs counter to the stark realities that, you know, when Michael Jordan was learning to be a good basketball player, no one gave him any achievements. He had to just practice and be good and let his practice speak for himself when he was out there playing. And eventually all of his rewards came, or all the rewards to anyone who plays any professional sports come, but they don't have those trappings of like, hey, you threw the football real good. Here's a pink star for you and 10 achievement points. I don't know. Who's a football player? Dick Sanders? Like, whatever.
Dick Sanders. Who the hell is Dick Sanders?
Vic Sanders.
So the thing is, we're not professionals. We come into this arena being like, yeah, I'm going to feel good about ranking up. And then the rank system goes like, oh, you've got a demotion game. Look at you getting demoted. No points for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's you have to ignore it. It's never going to go away because games, video games, like they all pride themselves on having their fancy systems. And unfortunately, MMR and competitive hates everybody. It hates you, and it's your job to prove it wrong.
Yeah.
But not by, you can't will, you can't just be like, I prove you wrong. Prove it, you can't.
No,
you have to just play the game and try to do your best for your part of the game each time. And if more than 50% of the time you're able to do that, your results will gradually trend in the positive direction.
Yeah, it's absolutely the way you have to think about it. Otherwise, you're going to get like me a couple of weeks ago where that dichotomy, it's like having a, here's a metaphor for you. It's like having dinner and the steak is just so fast. It's just coming to you and it's all you can eat. They're like, well, here's another steak. Oh, and here's another steak. And these are like 25 minute steaks and they're amazing. Another steak. Constantly eating a steak and then re-experiencing that and never getting fat and never having any weight put on and never having a heart attack from all the steak. But then they're like, well, what about the rest of dinner? Well, that takes a long time. You're going to have to be here a long time. You got to eat a lot of steak for the rest of dinner to get here. And the rest of dinner is the ranking system. It is gold and diamond and platinum and, you know, master. That's what that is. And you've just got to get it in your head that it's okay to just keep enjoying that steak and eventually the rest of dinner will work itself out. Metaphor, boom.
Yeah. Well, plus it's a thing that hinges on the participation of four other human beings who are going to go out and do whatever they're going to do that you have no control over. And the thing I had to start looking at it as is not match to match, because that's going to be depressing, because I'm gonna have a match where Assy McGee has decided to just type nonstop and not participate and do anything.
Yeah.
But when I look at it and I say, okay, how did this start? When I started my placement matches, they were putting me against bronze five people. It felt like maybe not quite that low, but that was who they were putting me up against in the initial matches. And I won some, and then I noticed that, oh, well, now I seem to be getting placed against these silver rank people. And sure, there was a point where I played games against gold rank people. And every time that happened is when I got the person who didn't want to participate, didn't want to help, bad experience. And sure enough, I ended up getting placed silver. Now, I can look at that and I can say, man, I deserved gold. I should have gotten gold. This sucks. I'm mad. I hate that I'm silver too. Or I can look at it and say, you know what? I started at bronze, and 10 games later, I'm at silver. So where will I be in the next 10 games that I play?
Yeah.
And look at it in as a bundle instead of just, well, where am I going to be in the next game? Oh, demotion match. I'm going to probably be silver 5 next time. Just, you got to look at it as, I'm not playing just one match. I'm playing multiple, and I'm making progress slowly but steadily, and sometimes it's going to be back and forth.
Yep. Well said. Yep.
I'd like to point out the chat room right now lamenting the age of MMOs when XP loss was a thing. Online spaces used to be brutal. Like, hey, listen, man, you don't belong here if you can't earn XP. And WoW was pretty innovative. That was the thing with WoW. One of the big things that drew my attention to it was, when you die, you don't lose XP, and people can't, like, kill you just to steal your stuff and make you lose XP and things like that.
Yep.
And we've gotten used to that world, but competitive world still, I don't think it'll ever be like that. Somebody's got to be on top, and people need to be pushed down.
I've been playing a game called Grim Dawn, which I know I've talked to you guys about, but Dawn's pretty awesome action RPG. Bunch of guys who made some cool games made it. It's really good, and it employs this lost XP idea, but lets you go get your body and get the XP back. So it's like, I don't know if anyone played Dark Age of Camelot, but that's how that used to work. You'd have to go pray to your gravestone and you'd get a bunch of your XP back. And this game works the same way. It was oddly satisfying to do that. You didn't have to, like, Diablo 2 style, go get all your clothes, right? Like, all your gear is still laying in a pile someplace. That sucked. I hated that. But, like, but this idea of losing a little percentage of your earned XP and then having to find your body and then click your body and get all your XP back, I don't know. That's a decent system, I suppose.
My favorite was EverQuest, where your body, your gear, everything was left behind, but other people could drag your corpse if you gave them permission. So you would have these people go out because they had gear and they had to type a command to, like, drag so-and-so's body and spam it across this entire zone as your body just kind of moved along behind them. And they would drag it to a safe zone where you're naked and afraid, just waiting for them so you can get all your stuff back. That was a real bad time, but man, I look back on it fondly because I don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah. It's dark moments like that that make me glad about where those things have gone. And certainly Heroes does things to the MOBA genre to sort of eliminate a lot of that overhead as well. But yes, bottom line is, here's what we've learned from our discussion here. Play every game as if it's your last. No, play every game as if you're living. Just play it like you're in the moment. Like, just really enjoy the game. That's turned me around this week. It really helped me. Like, just made me feel like, I've got 20 minutes. I want to play in this game. I'm not thinking about what rank I'm going to be at the end of this. I'm not even thinking about what win I'm going to get here. These are a bunch of randos. It's me and people I don't know. Let's go. Like, that's it. You know? And then try to make plays happen in that scenario, in that context. Suddenly, it's there's way less pressure on yourself. You just... And you know what? This is the other thing I did. I don't even care anymore. Put me where you're going to put me. I got, like, 2 placement matches left. I've been way slower than you guys. But once I get in there and get them, probably happen the next day or so, just put me where I'm going to be. It's fine. I'm not going to care. I already know that me and Civ share a diamond or whatever the hell that was, Blue Star. So just put me wherever. I don't care. I just want to be there, and then I'll work on it. And then next season I'll do better. And the next season I'll do better. It's fine. I accept this. It's fine.
I don't get that reference, and I'm scared to ask.
Oh, so do you remember that night they have that little thing. If you're close to somebody in your team that you're playing with, like, you know, you're all doing, you're like queuing personally up together. Yeah.
No, if your MMR is close.
Yeah, if your MMR is close. And Civ and I's MMR was represented by a blue star that shows up and says, he is close to you in your skill level.
Oh, right, right, right.
Now, I realize that is either a huge compliment to Civ.
That's fired.
I'm just kidding, Tyler. It's fine.
They weren't intentional. You shot the gun while it was in your holster.
Yep.
I like that he did it in the positive way. Yeah. Like, that's a huge compliment for Civ. Like, way to keep it on the positive side of the disc.
Well done, Civ.
Love you, Civ.
Keep at it, buddy. He's great. All right, let's talk about the balance patch that happened. Anubarak got nerfed, a little health and health regen decreases. And buffs came to Leoric and Medivh. Were they significant? What happened there, Bo?
Anubarak's nerfs were not significant. They brought his health down a bit, and who knows why. I guess he's a little hard to deal with. I don't know. Sure. I don't get that. But Leoric, they actually... So people have been complaining about Leoric. He's been kind of absent from the Nexus. And maybe he met a lovely lady friend and is focusing on other things in his life. A skeletal femme. Or he's, you know, maybe gathering power. Anyways, his W, his drain hope, drains even more hope now. So basically, just the thing does more damage, but it also heals more when undying. So it's just an overall buff to the W. And I'm very curious to see if this puts him over the edge, because I know they're hesitant to buff his swing because of the lane clear potential. That's what really drove him out of control, I think, and brought him a lot of value. So nice to see he's getting a little love.
A lot of strength to up against tanks, because that move was already the tank killer, because it's health percentage based damage. And with that percentage being even higher, I'm really curious to see what Leoric can do if you get, you know, a big health pool tank on the enemy team. I think you can put in some work with him.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in ages, like forever, like at all. I see his bike out all the time. Like, John's riding his bike the other night. So people are using that sweet mount from his Darth Vader set thing. But I haven't seen Leoric being played, except I guess I've played a few games against a Leoric, but none of us have jumped to it. And I always wonder about that. Like, I felt like Kerrigan was in that loop for a long time. Just nobody seemed to be playing her. And suddenly she's everywhere.
And sometimes they have hidden power. Like, they get relegated because of team play and because of popular pro opinions, but they still are, like, I still think Leoric's powerful.
Yeah.
Just not popular. It's hard to say. But the big news here is Medivh got a lot of TLC.
Oh, good.
I mean, relatively to the other changes. His basic attack damage was increased. His attack speed was increased. And they baked in Mana Adept, I believe, into the queue, which means if he hits something, he gets basically a full refund of mana on his queue.
Oh, wow. And that's not a talent anymore. That's a straight up, here you go, have it deal.
Right into the queue. And his Raven form used to provide only 15% mount speed. Now it provides 20% mount speed, so you can move a little faster in bird form.
Mm-hmm.
And just generally the damage of that queue has come up. So I think they're acknowledging somewhat that in solo play, he's pretty much, as you said earlier, a potato fart. He doesn't contribute much except these funny portals, and he blinks all over the place and goes like, "Hey guys, I'm helping."
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Shut up, Medivh."
His condoms are good though, man. I'll give him that. He's keeping people alive that I don't like to, you know. I feel like I'm finishing off far fewer people with a decent Medivh who knows how to condom his team.
Yeah.
We had that game the other night with a pretty decent Medivh, and that was the first time where I was like, huh, maybe this character is not total garbage, because he was actually kind of frustrating.
Yeah,
right?
Hard to deal with sometimes. In the hands of good players.
I think it's less on Medivh and more on the power of the teammates leveraging it. I think that's where his weakness lies.
That's a good point. So this actual patch doesn't hit till tomorrow, right? This is a balance patch for tomorrow, or is it today?
Yeah, it's dated June 29th. All right. That's tomorrow.
So these changes aren't in yet. Time will tell if this affects his win rate, which is still kind of in the toilet where it belongs. I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
Take that, Mindy.
Seeing a lot more Chromie, though, so that's good. Not a lot more, but and her win rate is improving. So, you know, signs that Blizzard takes somewhat broken heroes and fixes them. It's a little sad to see two in a row that were kind of janky, though, don't you think?
I think Chromie players would disagree with you, but...
Would Chromie players disagree with her win rate, though? I mean, I know Hot Slogs isn't everything, but...
Again, there are Chromie fans, and I think there are godlike Chromies getting positive win rates out there. It's just she's difficult to use.
Yeah,
there has to be someone in the 25%.
Yeah. Some crazy outlier. No, I mean,
there are players that, like, it's a Lost Viking scenario where a lot of people will play badly, but then those people who really know what to do with her contribute in an effective way. And that hasn't really come to light, but I'm sure they're out there.
So that's a tricky thing with her and heroes like her, when they're more difficult to find their place, and maybe Medivh's in the same boat. It comes off to the fan base as this is a broken, lame character. But what's really going on is Blizzard is trying to stretch and say, well, no, what if some of these aren't just auto shot, two button Terry, you know?
They can't release Kael'thas every 3 weeks.
Right.
Although with how often they change him, they kind of do.
Yeah. He's getting released and re-released all the time. But yeah.
You know, it's just like, here's Daniel Thos, his brother. he has ice cream cones.
Old Dan Thos and his ice cream cones. Watch out. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting challenge for them, because I've always thought this about the game. Like, it's tricky for them to want to go too difficult, because some players love that. They want something that's really hard to master, and then they get their heads around it, and they're like, oh my gosh, that character is amazing. But if they go too far that way, it just alienates a bunch of people who keep trying it and playing it because they like the character, or they just buy every character, and games go real poorly because of that guy not knowing what he's doing, and like that nuance is kind of lost. You hear people like, you know, Grubby talking about how much he loves Medivh, yet you see one of the worst win rates ever. Well, in his hands, he's pretty damn good with them, and that's because he's figured out, you know, what Medivh is good at, and that's not so on the face like it is with Rainer or whoever. Rainer, Vala, some of the characters I would classify as easy. So anyway, looks like they are getting their attention, and that's always good. There's skins available in bundles. Eagle Eye Tyrande and Bikini Stitches have hit the shop. Woo! Thank goodness. Our long national nightmare is over. Bikini Stitches can be yours today.
If you are opposed to exposed nipples and gaping holes, Bikini Stitches is for you.
I'm not sure. That last part made me feel comfortable, but that's fine. It's fine.
Well, leave that one alone.
Bikini Stitches is for you, Scott.
Okay. I haven't actually looked at him yet. Does the bikini cover his whole gaping front thing?
Yeah, he's wearing
job.
Right. He's wearing a bikini top, right? Like, you actually don't see nipples.
No, right? You see it's cold. But
well, I mean, my nipples are probably shaped through my shirt right now. I think anyone got offended today.
Look, all I'm saying is, like, you're still aware of their existence, but they're not as in your face.
All right, so those nipples
are... It's like when they put the pepperoni under the cheese. When you eat the pizza, you know it's a pepperoni pizza, but you didn't have to look at it before you started.
Somehow you made it worse.
You did.
Using less gross words. I don't know
both,
how that
both worked. Better and worse somehow. I don't know how you did that either.
Also, the Eagle Eye Taronda skin is just fantastic. Everybody should check that out. It looks really good.
Okay. Nobody's complained about bikini stitches, though, right? I'm a little worried about the whole, like, well, what is he? Is he making fun of cross-dressing or
I think people probably are.
Yeah. Someone is. It's the internet. What am I talking about? The dumb question.
The flavor text does describe him as he.
Yeah.
And I think it actually does allude to him looking for a boyfriend or something like that.
Wow. All right.
I don't remember exactly. It's interesting. You should all go read it and look at Bikini Stitches. There's a little skeletal dog hanging off the back of his floaty.
Do we have confirmation on Stitch's gender?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a low voice.
He's all genders to all people. He's zombie
gender. He's gender fluid.
He's gender many because there are many genders what make Stitches.
That's right. Stitches is swing both ways is what Stitches would say.
What's the actual PC term? Not gender fluid, but...
Gender neutral. General neutral. No. General Tao's chicken.
General neutral.
Guys, I don't mean to shock you, but I don't expect Stitches sees a lot of action. I don't think it's an issue, really.
You don't think... Him presenting however he wants is not... No one is being attracted by either presentation, is what you're saying.
He eats people. Like, he's gender cannibal. Like, you just don't... You're not going to hook up with Stitches. It's just... Not going to happen. He's not on Tinder.
His Santa Claus one, his Father Christmas one, is probably the least offensive to me because it at least represents gifts and North Pole and elves and all that. Oh, speaking of which, you guys think we'll ever get a map that's snow, like a snow theme? It's the one thing not in the game. It's like they usually represent that in, well, all their games have some representation of winter. And it seems like this one would totally do that because, I don't know, it just would. Arthas would fit great there and... You have characters that are sort of part of the whole ice thing, and there's no ice in this game. It's a little weird, right? Just a tiny bit. There's a lot of fire and arcane stuff and plants and bullshit like that.
You bring up a very good point.
Yeah.
I agree with the snow.
All right, let's get some snow in there. Maybe it's hard to see. Maybe it's a contrast thing. That very well could be it. Okay, you know what time it is, don't you there, Bo? Do you know what time it is?
I know what time it is.
Here it is. It's time for... Oh, here's some music for it in the background. I don't know why this is the music we chose. Anyway, it's Nexeperty!
Nexeperty! We should all say it together at the same time next time.
Nexeperty. Oh, I thought we were doing it.
Nexio Party!
Nexio Party! Take only as directed. So...
All right.
You're the host. You take this. Go.
Welcome to Nexeperty, everybody. This is where we do Nexus-related trivia... with our two fabulous contestants, John Jagger and Scott Johnson.
Hello, everyone. We're returning this week. I know I live in Ohio. I run my own flower shop, and I have two penises. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Thank you, General Neutral. All right. So, quick rundown of the rules. There are three categories. Each category has four questions labeled $100, $200, $300, $400. Okay. You get the answer right. You get the money. You get the answer wrong. You lose the money.
If you get it wrong, you hear this, by the way. If you get it right, you hear this. Okay, celebratory. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So whoever's in control, we're going to flip a coin, gets to choose whatever question they want. I'm going to read the answer, and you can, the first person to buzz in, I'll stop reading, and you can answer the question. If you get it wrong, you can go over to the other person who can pass. And keep in mind, you both can pass if no one knows the answer.
But we have to respond in the form of a question, right?
Yes, right, and Twitter has taught me one thing. It's that people are very particular about the rules of Jeopardy.
So some feedback we got last week was, one, I wasn't being a stickler enough. This is an important part of the Jeopardy tradition, is if you don't answer as a question, you get it wrong.
All right.
However, I'll give you a pass and try and gently nudge you to give the right one to make our fans happy.
Fair enough. Here's one of the fans that called in said this. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and the other thing was, maybe there was a sense I was intentionally trolling you guys by giving you the hardest questions possible.
Yeah.
So I just want to let people know I've never done this before. We're working on making it better.
All right. It's in beta, guys. We're in alpha, actually. Early access. Yeah. It's fine.
Chill out. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. I'm Gorath Trebek. Let's start the show. Scott, flip something.
You have something that you can flip there? I got this. A guy sent me his USS Lake Erie patch. He served on this ship. He's a military man, and on the front is the insignia. On the back is just like the white patch material. So I will flip this. Heads being the insignia, white being the patch. Here goes. I wish
he was on the front lines. I'm sure he never imagined the moment as great as this.
And John, you call this in the air as soon as I chuck it. So I'm throwing it now.
All right, heads.
It is heads. You won. You go first.
All right.
All right, here are the categories, guys. You know the categories.
I could see them, but people at home
because
couldn't.
You guys were really bad at remembering what they were, so I wrote them down and sent them to you ahead of time.
Thank you very much.
The categories are Ready Up Already, and the answers in these categories are hero names. Okay. And you'll get what the pattern is when I start reading the answers.
All right.
Category two is Great Balls in the Nexus. And the questions are related to balls found in the Nexus.
Okay. Good.
And the last category is Jargon of Terror. That's Jargon of Terror, and answers are MOBA-related jargon.
I would play on a map called Jargon of Terror before I would ever play on Garden of Terror again, just so you know.
So you'd mute everyone and win.
Yeah, just win.
All right, John, pick your category.
Hi, Bo. John from Arizona. I'm going to take Ready Up Already for 400.
Oh, man. You're going to tilt right away when you get this wrong, by the way. All right, here's the answer. From order comes justice.
Oh.
Yep.
Who is Tassadar?
You're correct.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. All right. From order comes justice. I don't know you. Oh, he's the best.
I think Scott's going to be good at this because he seems to remember the hero quotes really, really well.
Yeah, I dream about them. Seriously. I really do. This and Overwatch between these two games, those people are talking to me in my sleep. But anyway.
All right. Well, Scott, you got control of the board, so talk to me.
What was that for, by the way? What number? Which one did you choose?
It was 400, Ready Up Already.
All right, sweet. Answered. That's good money. Let's do Great Balls of the Nexus for 400 also, please. 300. All right. Sorry, 300. Let's do 300.
300? Okay.
Yeah.
When this enormous embodiment of rotundity secures a kill, teammates will often type "nice dunk" in chat.
Beep.
Ooh, John by a sea hair.
Yeah.
Who is Asmodunk? Asmodan.
Nope. I give you a second shot. It's related to balls found in the Nexus. This is Great Balls of the Nexus.
Oh, so we need the name of the move?
You need the name of the ball.
The ball? Oh, I don't know that. Never mind.
All right. We're giving you a pass. Scott?
Pass. Hold on. I'm going to pass because I don't remember.
The answer is, the question is, what is a globe of annihilation?
Oh,
Scott,
frick.
You continue to have control.
All right. Gosh dang it. All right. Let's do Jargon of Terror for 200, please.
Okay, subterfuge intended to open an enemy to the wiles of your allies.
I was looking at the chat.
Yep, Scott.
What is vision?
Incorrect.
Frick. Oh, wait.
Is there any chance I get you to repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. Subterfuge intended to open an enemy to the wiles of your allies.
What is baiting?
Correct.
Ah, nice. Well done. I forgot to be in the same
John, order. You have control of the board.
I will take Jargon of Terror for 300.
Often said as an imperative, as either a warning or a directive to denote a surprise attack.
Yep. Engage?
Scott, sorry.
Engage?
Nope, incorrect.
Oh.
Beep.
John?
What is safe?
Incorrect.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Man.
The answer is, what is a gank, or what is ganking?
Oh, ganking. Oh, the surprise part. All
right. I thought you called safe when you needed people to be cautious, right? Is that a real thing?
Imperative is either a warning or a directive.
Oh, all right.
Gank this or watch out for gank. That was what I was going for.
All right.
All right.
No, it's good. It was good.
John, I think you're still in control, I believe.
Jargon of Terror for 400. I missed 300, so let's make it harder.
All right. Used to describe an enemy hero that is no longer where they were and to expect them elsewhere.
I know the idea, but I don't know. Beep.
Yeah, John.
What is missing?
Correct.
Correct answer.
I
didn't mean to hit the pig.
Correct answers were what is MIA or what is missing. Would have accepted both. One or the other. All right, John, you're still in control.
Yeah, you are.
Let's close out this category. Let's do Jargon of Terror for 100.
All right, listen carefully. This individual dies repeatedly, granting the opposing team XP.
Beep.
Beep.
John?
What is a feeder?
Correct.
Ah, frick! That was going to be... sorry, where's your thing? Here you go. That was going to be my answer. No one will believe me, but I knew it was feeder. Not that I'm a feeder.
not that I know what that's all about.
Yeah, not that I know what feeding's like. Anyway.
All right, John.
John, you're still in charge.
Let's do Great Balls of the Nexus for 400's available, right?
All right, yep. Listen carefully. When this gooey sack of fleshy balls is jammed on your head, you see no one, and no one can hear you scream.
Beep.
John?
What is isolation?
Correct.
Frick! Wow. You're killing it, man. All right.
John, you're running away. All right, John. You're in control.
I'm on fire! All I needed was simple questions. Jeez. Not necessarily simple, but, you know.
Yeah.
You had
questions that weren't ability names. Great Balls of the Nexus for 200.
This sphere is so fabulous, sometimes it even astounds itself.
Wait. Beep.
Yeah, Scott, do it.
What is...
Scott's buzzer is weird.
What is Li Ming's orb?
I'll give it to you. Yeah, what is an arcane orb?
Oh, arcane orb, yeah. Same
correct.
Thing, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take
Welcome
that
back
one.
To the positives.
All right. But he's still in charge, or am I now?
No, you're in charge.
Oh, because yeah. I got the last. I thought it was always who had the most money who did it. I don't know.
You're the man now, dog.
All right. Ready up already. No, wait. Let's do. Yeah, ready up already. For what's left?
100, 200, 300.
Let's do 100.
All right. I hear the call of the wild.
Oh, the meat!
I give it to Scott.
who is Malfurion? Who is Malfurion?
Incorrect.
Oh, serious?
Yep. I hear the call of the wild, John.
Who is Lunara?
What? Incorrect.
Oh,
really? I didn't know.
Who is that?
Who is Rexxar?
Rexxar says that?
I thought he just says the call of the wild.
I thought he just said get to the healing
fountain.
I'm sure
he does, but you know, I think we both had better answers.
Get to a healing fountain, dumbass.
All right, Scott, you're still in control.
Oh, you know what it is? It's in Hearthstone where I hear that, the call of the wild or something. And it's Malfurion. I'm telling you, man. It's just that I got it confused. All right, anyway.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm still in charge. Let's do ready up already for 200.
Wait till they get a load of me.
The Joker from Batman with...
Look, I'm trying not to do impressions because it gives it away.
Wait until they get a load of me?
Wait till they get a load of me. Is that better?
No.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Do you want to do the voice? Or was
I'm
that
trying
the voice?
To. I just close as I can. Wait till they get a load of me.
I still
wait till they get a load of me.
Oh, is it a lady then?
lady, yeah.
It is a lady. Wait until they get a load of me.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bam.
Who was it?
Who is Kerrigan?
Oh, frick. You know what? I hardly ever see her anymore, so that's why I don't know hers very well.
When you're ready up
have
with her.
Say, that seems like a weird thing to have her say.
Yeah, it is weird. Well, yeah. I'm with John. So also.
All right.
All right, there. Go ahead.
Well, two more left. We got Ready Up Already for 300 and Great Balls of the Nexus for 100.
I'll do the final Ready Up Already for 300, please.
Reckoning is at hand.
Oh. Oh, wait.
Think of characters I don't play.
Reckoning is at hand. Oh my gosh. Oh, eat!
Yep.
Who,
an intense buzz.
Who is Tyriel?
Oh, you're correct.
Oh,
wow.
Reckoning is at hand.
Last question, guys. Ready for it? It's Great Balls of the Nexus for 100.
Okay.
This hot and slow projectile always hits its mark.
Beep. Beep.
Scott. Scott was.
What is Kael'thas's heat seeking bomb fireball? Do I have to know the name? Hold on. I'm going to do it then. Hold on. Let me think of it. Because so normally
it's
it
with a P.
Pyroblast. Pyroblast.
All right, you got it.
Oh my gosh.
All right, that concludes the the first round. So, John, you've got $700. Nice. We're in the positive today. And Scott, you have $300. Yeah. A respectable $300.
Yeah, no, neither of us are in the negative at this point in the game. I say this is a step up from previous attempts, so this is good.
All right, so you can bet as much as you have. We actually have money to bet at Final Jeopardy.
All right.
And there's some strategy to this. John may decide to, you know, bet more than he should and thereby giving you a chance to win. But we'll see, you know, what he does.
All right.
All right. The final, I couldn't come up with a clever title. So Nexus Soundscapes is the title of the Final Jeopardy.
All right.
All right. Write down in your head how much you're betting. You have to bet now. Honor system.
All right.
All right.
Okay, what? How much do I have again? 300?
We hit 300.
Okay, I'm good.
All right. here's the clue. This inspiring song composed by Glenn Stafford and Jason Hayes is heard by everyone who dares to venture into the Nexus.
Oh. Okay, I think I know.
All right. Doody 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 do.
How are we gonna tell you?
Was that the Jeopardy song? Doody 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 do.
Doody doody do.
It's the past version. All right. Let's see. John, you're in the lead, so I think we start with the contender. We start with the guy in the low amount.
Oh,
so
that
Scott,
me? Okay.
What did you answer?
What is Enter the Nexus?
Okay, and how much did you bet?
I bet all 300.
Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. You're down to zero.
Frick!
John, your answer was?
My answer was a great big shrug. I don't know.
Oh, that was incorrect. How much did you bet?
Zero.
It's like something of the Nexus or
you
Nexus
Heroes. You
should
have bet all of it to make the game great. All right, whatever.
Enter.
Way to go, John. You ruined
the
game.
Way to go, John. You won and ruined everything.
Wait, doesn't he have...
The battle begins.
The battle begins! Frick! All right.
I love how he yelled at
John wins again. What's that, 2-1?
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1, all right. Next week, we continue this on and see who the real winner is. Thank you all for joining us for Next Jeopardy. I love that, and I want to do it always.
What's that from?
I don't even know. It's some stupid thing. All right, let's get to emails. No calls this week. For some reason, you guys got slacking on your calls. I don't know why. It's just no calls. Also, a quick note. I may have deleted a bunch of calls and not meant to, so it's possible that happened.
I like how that made a sharp turn from, way to go, guys, you're all slacking. Also, maybe we deleted all your calls.
It's entirely possible. So if you send us a short and awesome call and you're not hearing it today, it's possible you're in that group. So recall us at 801-471-0462 or send your emails to core at heroesforyou.com. Here's the email from LaFonda. Yeah, LaFonda. You know, like from the Napoleon Dynamite deal there. According to Hot's logs, Medivh has a win rate below 30% in both Hero League and Quick Match. This would normally lead me to believe he's incredibly undertuned, but his team league win rate is right around 50%. Time will tell if he gets played much in professional tournaments, but let's suppose, in theory, he gets played a lot in future tournaments. Are you okay with a hero like Medivh only being playable in something like team league or professional tournaments? Should the goal of hero design be 50% win rate in all leagues and formats? Or can some heroes be built specifically for something like team league? I might be a little critical in saying I would like a larger hero collection before putting out a hero that is so niche specific. But in general, I don't mind the design philosophy. What do you think? I think this is a great question. And one that I hadn't. I've always just assumed, hey, every hero we ever make is going to be great no matter what. Now, we already know there are differences between doing something solo or doing something with a team. Bo said earlier, hey, Chen's the man to be in Hero League right now. Really hard to kill, especially if you're solo queuing. But not necessarily a character you might take into a coordinated five-man stack in Hero or Team League. So I hadn't really considered it, though, this idea that they could potentially, now or later, make a character that's like, this is a Team League character. I mean, they haven't said that, obviously. But it may turn out that way accidentally. Or they may on purpose do this. So what do we think about that, John? Do you think that's a fair design philosophy for future heroes?
Yeah, I kind of think they said it exactly how I feel. I think this is a totally fine thing to do. I kind of like that there's going to be heroes that don't cater to every play style. I'd argue we already have one with Cho'Gall, where you have a hero that is, you know, you have to get two people on board if you want to play Cho'Gall, and they both have to agree to do it. And that's definitely not going to speak to everybody. But I do also understand the comment that was thrown in there. I'd like a larger hero collection. I don't know when you say the cutoff is before they can start doing weird things. I don't think that they've necessarily gone so far off the rails for the past week after week after week that Medivh was a bad idea. I do think that we're in dire need for more support heroes, and I'd like to see another support hero added to the game before they do something weird and wacky and silly. But other than that, I think this sort of thing is perfectly fine.
Yep, I totally agree. Bo, what do you think?
Rant time?
Oh, time for rant. Oh, we got a rant?
We got a rant. It probably won't be that bad. It might be overselling.
I have a theme for rants. All right, go ahead.
Man, that warms me inside. I don't feel like ranting anymore. Horrible. Okay, Hot Slogs, people work on Hot Slogs. Great people doing a worthwhile project. Nothing personal against you guys. But that thing is, Hot Slogs is stupid. Whoa. Ignore it.
No offense.
It's dumb for you as a player. No. What they're doing is good. I'm sure they do a good job of it. Whatever it is they're doing, it's great. It's got no bearing. Like, I barely consult the thing. The fact that a hero is 10% win rate, I don't care. I'm going to play it. And you know what? If I win games with the hero based on my personal experience with it, who cares? So if Medivh's in there with 30% win rate, then all, you know, oh my God, Blizzard is 30% win rate, whatever. Like, this is an issue because of I think, brought over from other games where statistics like this make a little more sense, looking at UTCGs. This doesn't grok the same way when you're good with the hero or you just want to play with the hero that some aggregator, it's like saying, I don't know, I really liked the Hobbit movie, the first one that came out. I really enjoyed it. And when I went to Rotten Tomatoes and it got like a 60, I said, these people are on crack. Like it's a good movie. This is unfair. And this is what Hot Slogs is producing. And you might say, well, it's real-time data. Numbers don't lie. They're losing a lot. Let the balance team figure that out. That has no impact on your enjoyment of a hero. So I think that a lot of these conversations where it's like, this hero's bad, they have a low win rate, so nobody play it, it's you shouldn't. I just don't approach the game that way. So I don't understand why this is a thing. And dear writer, LaFonda, LaFonda, nothing against you personally. We all can't ignore the elephant in the room, but you should play Medivh. If you enjoy playing Medivh, or if you want to crack them open, don't worry about the win rates or what other people say. I think this is largely distracting from what you should be focusing on. I don't know what Chen's win rate is right now. I haven't looked it up. I just know I'm 6-0 in Hero League this season. I'm going to keep playing him. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not some aggregator site is reporting these statistics. They're meaningless to me, absolutely. What's meaningful is my personal experience with it. Where stats come in handy is when you're refining things. So if you're trying to turn a 51% win rate into a 52% win rate, certain statistics will help you identify behaviors that should make adjustments. But this conversation about don't buy this hero because they're only 30% win rate, I hate it.
It's also my rant. I don't like it in general, but also you make a strong argument for the idea that this, if let's say Hotslogs didn't exist. Blizzard doesn't release this kind of data, so we don't know what win rates really look like, and the closest we have is Hotslogs. If they didn't exist, and we didn't see that data, then nobody would be talking about this. There may still be opinions like, I didn't like how that character felt, or I loved how that character felt, but none of us would be arbitrarily saying, well, it's only 30%, so F that character. Yeah. I totally agree with you on that, 120%. But I will say this, we don't live in a vacuum. That site does exist, and the reason it exists is that data is useful, like you said, for fine-tuning and other reasons. I still say it would be very helpful if Blizzard released the data, their own real data, the actual raw-ass data, the stuff that really would be accurate, not so we could all decide which hero to hate, but so that we could use it in these other more positive ways. And maybe they have to present it in ways to help us do that. Maybe we all suck, and no matter what, we're going to aggregate score this thing and see a low number and just go, well, poo-poo on that character. He's obviously not for me. Like, I don't know how you get around this. And you also, you know, the reason Hotslogs exists is why? Because Blizzard didn't give us the data first. So they figured out a way to get the data through replays. Like, obviously somebody wants this tool. But your philosophy, I think, is dead on. I just don't know how
Blizzard released it. Like, it's still like there's a race in these competitive games to get the edge. Like, when a new meta comes out, who's broken? Who became broken? How do I get the secret edge? But it spreads like wildfire. Everyone figures out, oh, Li Ming's 56%, so pick her all the time because she wins most of the games.
Yeah.
It's like the stock market. If you're hearing about some sweet hot tip on something to buy some stock, you're probably the 10th guy hearing about it. And guess what? You're going to lose money. Mm-hmm. You have to do your own research if you really want an edge. And then the conversation devolves into, this hero's actually broken and blah, 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 because the numbers say that. And I don't think Blizzard does their balancing based on these general numbers. I think they have more refined data points than that when they're doing their analysis. So for us to have a conversation about it is also much less meaningful. I think it's more your experience with it, with the character.
The problem is it creates perception for Blizzard, and for them to say, well, guys, we're underperforming on Medivh. We should be selling more. We think it's because of this bad rap he's getting from a lot. Like, they can't ignore it. And that's the bummer end of this, is they have to, they still, even if they know in their hearts of hearts, in their professional opinions, that Medivh is a treasure trove of potential, just waiting for someone to unlock it. People do that surface level Hotslog view, and then they go back and they say, I don't want this character. And that's bottom line for Blizzard. So they have to address it. Like, they have to tune based on not what the character may actually need, but sometimes based on the perception of what he needs. And that's unfortunate. Me saying that has no solution to this, I realize, but it's unfortunate that that's how they have to be. And they do. They have to do that with these characters. Whether we like it or not, Hotslogs is this weird double-edged, triple-edged sword that in some ways is kind of interesting and cool, and I'm glad it exists in some ways, but it taints me, and I don't like how it feels. I don't like the feeling of either seeing a character I already know I like low down on this list and go, well, what the hell's wrong with him? I like him. Like, that's a thing you shouldn't have to have an argument with yourself about. I'm totally with you on this, but it's so philosophical, you have to ignore it. You either have to ignore it, or you have to be, I guess, emotionally competent enough to understand it for purely what it is, which is arbitrary data that's not accurate to begin with. And then play who you want to play. That's it.
Play what you want. Yeah. My ultimate.
It was ultimate. Yep. Play what you want.
Level 10. Pick, play what you want. What's your other ultimate, your alternative ultimate at 10?
Play everything you want. Oh. No, this is your ultimate. Remember, Scott, you're the one we want in the Nexus as the hero. I'm just one of your ultimates.
Oh, that's right. John's my, yeah. John's, well wait, though, if you're my ultimate, what's John then? John's my other ultimate?
Well, you can pick one of the two ultimates between me and John. And then remember, it's Veronica Belmont, I think, and right. Tom Merritt. Yeah.
Right. I forgot. We had that all.
We have a whole plan.
Yeah. I don't remember what my ultimate's name was, but I remember it basically meant that you could do nothing but charge the enemy, and you had to attack them, and you had no option to retreat.
Yeah, that was it. I think that was it. And your entire talent tree switched over to all the DPS picks all at once.
That'd be cool. That's a cool idea.
Only for about 10 seconds. Yeah.
A talent at some point that switches your previous talents to a certain tree.
Yeah, think
of
that.
Cool idea, Scott.
That's pretty good.
You thought of it first.
Well,
here on Core.
I stumbled into it like a wet turd in the night. So use it if you want, Blizzard. It's yours.
Sentient wet turd.
Dan K. wrote in, says this, Core crew, just wanted to know what you thought of Heroes taking Smite's pricing model, since I thought Blizzard could reasonably get into the game without radically reversing the current pricing structure. In Smite, you can buy individual gods with gold or real money, just like in Heroes. However, you can choose to get a bundle that includes all present and future gods. Sounds weird. For a one-time cost of $30, Blizzard can introduce a Heroes of the Storm bundle that does just that and do what they did with dynamic bundles when they were introduced and reimburse people who buy the new bundle with gold or for heroes they already had. So this idea is like that one, John, that remember that fighting game we played that's like Super Smash Brothers? What's that called? Something Valhalla.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I called it Brynn.
Oh, Brawlhalla. That's what it is.
That's it.
Yeah, and also Brynn is the worst. She freaking sucks. That game has an option where you pay $19.99 and or you can piecemeal it like they're saying, buy the heroes one at a time, or pay that flat rate and get every hero they're ever going to release and every update they're ever going to put out. I would bet Blizzard's very hesitant to do this because it signals a sort of giving up point. And I don't mean like, oh, we give up, fine, here's a way to get everything. I just mean it signals they've run out of other ways to make the revenue chain run the way they want it to. It's kind of a last resort in a way. So I don't think they ever do it. Do you guys have a dissenting opinion?
I don't think that they would necessarily do it. But what I would love to see, this email got me inspired to think about this. And I kind of thought about it back when they did the Diablo event, and I know they've said they kind of don't want to do the events again, but what if they sold season packs where they said, we're going to sell you the Heroes of the Storm 2017 season pack. You're going to get every hero when they're released for the year. You're going to get maybe an exclusive mount to people who buy this bundle, and maybe you get, you know, a couple of the alternate skins or something else thrown in there as part of the bundle, all at a pretty big discount because you're buying it all up front. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a super cool way to buy into a lot of heroes, and you maintain that interest of, oh, I've got something to look forward to every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Like maybe a temporary, like you're saying a year, right?
Yeah.
I think so, that's all right.
I dig that.
Yeah.
I would like to that would be a way I'd like to spend my money for sure.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I mean, what I wish and what they'll do is two very different things. I wish it was the Dota model, if I'm being honest. I do wish it was that.
Yeah.
But we can't all have that, right? So we won't have that. We'll have another thing. And right now it's the thing we got. So just live with it. Bo, you're guesting on the solo Q&A show with Kyle Ferguson. That's tomorrow.
Yeah,
and, so I'm kind of excited about this. Yeah, that's super cool. I'm excited. Tell people more about what that is. I mean, Kyle's like some sort of Zen lord on so this stuff. So
Kyle Ferguson is a co-host of Into the Nexus and resident like rank one in the podcast space anyways. Always like the best player on any team anywhere. Mm-hmm. So he noticed we were close in ranks. And he said, oh, hey, we could do a queue. Come join me. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to go horribly. Yeah. But I said yes. So if you have nothing to do tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And
he's the best Heroes player I know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to learn a lot playing with him. And hopefully I can show him a thing or two about staying positive. He's already the most, he's already way more positive than I am. Like, I just, there's, it's, this is a one way transaction, folks. I might just, I might crack a good joke or two and hopefully you'll catch that. But no, seriously, he's super committed to playing the game. So I'm really looking forward to it. So I thought I'd mention it in case you wanted to see if we make a good pair. I've never played HL Duo Queue with him because he's always been way too high rank for me. So now we get to play together.
He's surely Grandmaster, if not yet, will be soon.
He's Diamond 4.
Diamond
We're
4.
Pretty
all
close.
Right. All right.
We're
so that's not
close,
too bad.
Actually.
He is also one of those guys that you can credit for helping the Heroes community be a welcoming, happy place. Like, he is one of the most positive people online, as you mentioned. And totally worth checking out. Twitch.tv/KyleFerguson. And you know what time is it tomorrow? Do you know?
3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/KyleFerguson. So
all right.
Check it out.
All right.
Hang out.
That sounds really good. I think that's it. We're going to leave now. That's the show. Oh, thanks for your emails, everybody. We love getting emails. The email address is core@heroesforyou.com. Leave us voicemails. We love those even more. At 801-471-0462. John_Jagger on Twitter. Bo Schwartz on Twitter. I'm Scott Johnson on Twitter. The show even has a Twitter account. It's @CoreHeroes. We announce show times, live stuff, all that. We do record live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.com/Twitch, because we do this on Twitch. That's good enough. Frogpants.com/Twitch. Go check that out. Join us in the game, /joinfrogpants, and we'll play with you and other listeners. Heroesforyou.com is the website. That will do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you guys next time. And now, enjoy this weird song written by a fan.
He had 10 matches of placement to do, but he had to queue solo in a vast sea of fools. Oh, what a lucky man he was. Oh, what a lucky man he was. Carl Jim is hero, no novice was he, but second fart was not chosen, and his teammates disagree. Oh, what a lucky man he was. What a lucky man he was. And called him anew, even though they were carried and became only food. Oh, what a lucky man he was. Oh, what a lucky man he was. In, they were bodied by the group he was screwed. From then on he vowed team and quick work only cue. lucky man he was. Oh, what a lucky man he was. Yeah, right.
Guys, I seriously think that we could turn this around if y'all would just shut the hell up for 2 minutes. No, Echo of Heaven wouldn't have made a bit of difference. Way of 100 Fists is a totally legit choice. L to P, are you kidding me? Why is nobody saying anything to the frickin' Nova that's been soloing top lane for the last 4 minutes? XP, are you kidding me? She should be with us.
Okay, Diablo. You're the moron that seems to think that if you get a Divine Palm, it's time to run out of the middle of the team fight.
So I don't need to hear anything from you. Oh, GG uninstall. Are you... whatever. Report me. I don't give a shit. It's cool. It's not like you guys are going to see me in here ever again. Yeah, whatever.